Let us pray. Guide us, O God, and prepare our hearts to hear your word. Pour into us your grace and strength so that every word comes to us in love and faith. Help us to find the truth that shall set us free. And lead us to the places that are evergreen and where your light brings unending joy. Give us a strong will to follow your way through Christ our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Our scripture today comes from Genesis, the 6th chapter, verses 5 through 12. Hear now the word of God. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race. I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground. For I regret that I made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And this is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Last week, we began the series, Lessons from Noah for 2021, and we looked at the genealogy of Noah, starting with his great-grandfather, Enoch, who at 65 had Methuselah, and then for 300 years had other sons and daughters and walked faithfully with God. Methuselah then fathered Lamech, and Lamech fathered Noah, and this is the story of Noah. Things were bad in the days of Noah. Everyone was evil. There was no question about it. There was no question that God didn't see how evil everything was. About 30 years ago, I was employed at Dudley Nurseries in Thompson, Georgia. My boss's father, Mr. Pete Dudley, passed away, and they were planning the service funeral, and it was to be at our local church. Miss Dudley had been a music teacher and a member of the choir, and she wanted two anthems sung at her husband's funeral, one of which was the Hallelujah Chorus. Being that the funeral was at 1 o'clock on a weekday, a good many of our choir members couldn't be there. And so they recruited a number of us who maybe sang at another church or people who might have sung in the choir in years past. And I sang in the choir and also was a pallbearer. The next day I was at work and I received a radio call that one of the order crews needed some assistance in getting some plants I'd sold. And so I went out and was with the two ladies in the order crew. And we began talking about the funeral the day before. They had been there, and I'd made a statement about, I know the family was proud and glad that everyone showed up yesterday. And then one of them said, I got there, I was sitting there, I was enjoying and looking at all the beauty within the sanctuary. And then the choir came in, and I started looking at the choir, and lo and behold, when my eyes looked up and saw the devil himself. And then she started laughing. The person who was with her started laughing. And I started laughing. I didn't know whether to laugh or what. Was she saying that to her, I looked like the devil himself? I didn't think I was the devil himself. Which has caused me to think throughout the years, we might look like two different people than what's in our minds. We truly might. Have you seen Noah lately? Have you looked at yourself lately? If we look around us today, we might understand if we look and look at our community over the last year, the things that have gone on in the Dunwoody area community, or DeKalb County, or Atlanta proper, or the state of Georgia. We've been in the forefront of the news in America. Are we becoming closer to the time of Noah before the ark, or are we getting better? Sometimes it's hard to tell. That the things we see are good or are they bad? It's hard to tell sometimes. I know that the news media, the news industry, no matter where you receive your news, if it's from the local weekly paper in some small town in rural Georgia, or the local radio station that has a listening audience of 10,000 people, or if it's the AJC, or WSB, CNN, Fox News, all of those networks, all of those people tend to have a bias. They tend to sensationalize things. Here in Atlanta, if you make it home at 4 o'clock, you can start watching the news, and you can see an event told about at 4, 4:15, 4:30, 4:45, and 5, 5:15, 5:30, 5:45, and 6, all the way until it gets to ABC News at 7 o'clock, all the way to 7:30, and if you stay up late enough, you can hear it 4 more times at 11 o'clock, or all the time. Sensationalizing events, blowing them up. And so when we look at all of the world that we see today in our community and beyond, are we seeing it through the lens of the people who give us the information? Is what we see good, or is what we see bad? Tomorrow, our country will celebrate Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, a day in which our country will celebrate the life and the achievements of Martin Luther King Jr. 66 years ago, the year I was born, Martin Luther King led a strike, a boycott of the Montgomery bus line. And then it moved to other things, civil rights, injustices, voter rights, desegregation. You name it, he was involved in it. Nonviolent protest, marches. Bringing it to the forefront. And I wonder, when we look at those of us who were alive when those events were taking place, and we saw the black and white video of what happened in Selma or Montgomery or wherever it happened, many of us might have thought, or we heard people say, how bad that was, how bad that is. When I was a small child, my brother and I, we fought a good bit. 2 years difference. He was a lot larger than I was, and he picked on me, and I picked on him. And my mother would say quite often, "Can't you boys just leave well enough alone?" And I think to those days of the civil rights movement, the number of people looking at a TV, asking the question of Martin Luther King Jr., can't you just leave well enough alone? In those days, people might have thought that was bad, but 66 years later, was it? Sometimes we judge what we see on the news and the events that are happening as bad or good from a very close-up view. How can we tell what's good or bad? Was the lady who saw me in the choir correct? To her, am I the devil incarnate? Or was she just joking? You see, are we getting better? Or are we getting worse? See, that's the things we struggle with around, isn't it? Sometimes I think we're getting worse. I think we're moving closer to the time of Noah. Is there anyone righteous and just? I have these pet peeves. I don't know if anybody else thinks it, but since I'm the preacher, I get to say this. And if you don't agree with me, I'm sorry. But these are things that have bothered me. You see, today we have a bad case of demonizing people with whom we disagree. Those on the other side of the aisle, the other side of the track, the others that think opposite of us, we demonize them. And when we demonize them, we sometimes get to the place where we are incapable of seeing when injustice is perpetrated on them. You see, some of the people we demonize, sometimes bad things happen to them, and when it happens to them, we turn our head in apathy. Or we pathetically turn our head and justify it. They're just getting what they deserve. When we demonize other people, we aren't willing to stand up for them. And then we also find ourselves when we're unwilling to call out people who do unbelievably dumb things or racially motivated things or evil things. We don't call them out because on most things we agree with them. We rationalize sometimes our own sinfulness with others and think we are morally more righteous than other people. We think because we love God that we're more righteous than other people because we can see their sins very clearly, but yet we don't love our neighbors. And even to the point where Jesus says, love your enemies, we certainly don't. And when we don't love our neighbors and we don't love our enemies, we really don't love God at all. And so some of us think we're morally superior because we love God, while we hate our neighbors and hate our enemies and wish only bad things to happen to them. I don't like it when I hear prophetic voices who can lash out and say, thus saith the Lord, on certain issues, but their prophetic voice goes quiet when they would have to criticize someone with whom they agree. You see, when I read my Bible, when I read the Old Testament, and I read about the prophets of the Old Testament, they made everybody mad. Because there was no one who got a break, no one who got a pass, no one that slipped by. They were critical of the king and the queen. They were critical of the priest and the Levites and all the priests. And they were critical of the people. And they paid the ultimate price for their prophecy. You see, prophets speak the truth to all people. And if we're not willing to speak the truth to everyone, then we're not much of a prophet at all. And so we sit here in this world today, a world of isolation. Even before this pandemic, it's easy to feel isolated in a place where everyone is divided. People we thought were our friends are no longer our friends because we don't agree with them on things, and we've demonized people, and somehow or another, we can find ourselves isolated. And sometimes it's not where we wanted to be in the first place. And it's easy to get to a place where we have what I call the Elijah syndrome. If you read 1 Kings 18, we learn of Elijah, the prophet, the great prophet, who this one occasion where he's on Mount Carmel, and there is a battle between the prophets of Baal, 450 prophets of Baal, are against the one, Elijah, the prophet of Yahweh. And this big contest occurs. And Yahweh shows out through Elijah and they're destroyed. He's on top of the world. And nothing could go wrong, could it? And then the king tells his wife about what happened with Elijah. And the queen got word to Elijah that she was going to make his life a living hell. Forget what God had done just before that. He's afraid, he's scared, and he begins to run. He runs. And then he gets to a place and he's fed, and then he runs for 40 more days into the desert till he gets to the mountain of God, to Horeb. And God asks him, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" And Elijah says, "This is what has happened. And I am the only one left. No one is left. Everybody else has deserted you. Everyone has gone away." And God says to Elijah, "You're not alone, Elijah. There are 7,000 other prophets who have not bent their knee to another god that have been just as faithful as you. You are not alone." And for those of us who feel like we're alone, we've been faithful to the word of God. We've been faithful in our prayer. We've tried not to demonize people or be critical and understand and look and appreciate everyone. We feel alone. Remember that you're not alone. Not only are they other, there are others who are like you. The Lord is also with you. Is always with you. So what do we do? Have we seen Noah lately? My in thinking about my scripture today, if every thought of every person was always evil in those days, my guess is it was pretty easy to spot Noah. I guess it would be pretty easy to spot him. I was thinking as I read this scripture, and a week or so ago I referenced this scripture in my letter to the congregation. But when I was in high school in the chorus, our chorus learned and performed Randall Thompson's "The Last Words of David." It's taken from 2 Samuel chapter 23. These are the last words of David recorded. And the Holy Spirit gives these words to David to say. And he's talking about people who rule over others. But I believe that not only does it apply to people who rule over others, it also applies to people who lead. And I believe that all of us are called as followers of Christ. We are called to be servant leaders because we're about leading other people to Christ. Not just being the king or someone in leadership or big position. But David says these words from God, "He that ruleth over men must be just, must be just, must be just." And not only should they be just, they should rule in the fear of God. In the fear of God. In the fear of God. And in the song, the tension dissipates. And we hear the metaphor for what someone who rules justly and in the fear of God looks like to the world. It is like the dawn on a clear day. As the sun crosses the horizon, a day that is clear as a bell, clear, no clouds about it, and it's after the rain has rained on the grass, and the grass not only reflects the beauty and the majesty of the sun, but it's no way you can miss it. And that's what God is calling rulers to do, leaders to do, us to do, to live so that we are a bright light in the darkness of the world. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. But the darker the world, the brighter it needs to be. And as the people of God, we need to covenant together to truly love God and love neighbor and love our enemies, to be willing to be just, to walk justly, rightly, and in the fear of God, so that people will say of us, have you seen so-and-so lately? You can't miss them. Christ's light is so bright in them, there's no doubt to whom they belong. They're living a singly focused life, a life of Christ. May we be seen by the world as the sun over the horizon on a clearest day after the rain. May we strive to be that bright. Let us pray. Lord God, may we not give out mixed signals. May we not be a saint to some and the devil himself to others. May there be no ambiguity to who we belong, because we belong to you. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.